Hello, hello. Welcome back for another exciting episode of the Sex and Horror Podcast with your girls, Dicey Grinner and...
Chantel Renee.
And yes, we're authors and all that. So, you know what? I meant to ask you about your event Saturday. You met with one of our former guests,
Michelle
Bergen. And you all had an event at Barnes & Noble. How did that go?
No, it wasn't at Barnes & Noble. It was at a comic book shop for Free Comic Book Day.
Oh, okay. How did that go?
It was good. It was enjoyable. I got to meet some new folks and all that sort of thing. So, yeah, I enjoyed it.
That sounds great. So, real quick, because I didn't put this in the beginning of or end of our last episode, our review of The Idea of You. We're going to review tarot in this episode, but we probably should go over some announcements. So we just recently put out there that we're having an event on June 15th. That is going to be a celebration of ending our fifth season and going into our sixth season. It is a circus fetish celebration.
Clown fetish.
Let me start over. It is a clown fetish open mic party. Okay, so the open mic part is you got 6 minutes to read something clownish or clown fetishish. So something terrifying or something sexy or something both. That's how I like to do it, both intermingling. So you got 6 minutes for that. It's going to start at 6 o'clock. It's going to be at Wormwood and Vine off of Harrisburg Street. And it is going to be for our sixth season. So you get the theme 666, right? Okay, so we hope you can be there. Our next event, we're going to be at Texas Frightmare Weekend. We're official media press for that show. So if you don't have your tickets, make sure you get them now. You still have another week to do that. The show is on what date? 17th?
It is. Yes.
17th, 18th, 19th, or 16th, 17th, 18th.
Let me pull up the calendar. It is 17th, 18th, and 19th.
All right. May. And that's in Irvington or Irving?
Irving, Dallas, yeah.
Irving, the Irving, Dallas area. Yes. So we hope to see you all there. We'll be interacting with attendees and getting your perspective on the event. And I cannot wait to see the short films that are going to be screened. I always stay up late for those. This time we're going to be staying kind of close at a hotel, so we'll be able to walk back and forth. But listen, if you recognize our faces, come give us some love, okay? We've been at this 6 years now. Come on. I know you recognize us. Come up and give us some love and let us know what your favorite episode is, okay? So we have an event one event a month so far. We have Texas Frightmare Weekend this month. We have our clown fetish event in June. Yeah. July, mm-hmm. We have Texas AuthorCon and Book Festival in Richardson, Texas. And in August, we have Houston Horror Film Festival right here in Houston, August 17th, 18th, 19th.
That's correct.
Another 17th, 18th, 19th? Is that right?
I mean, I'm going to say yeah, because it sounds good.
Hey, y'all, look it up, okay? Either way, you know, it's not that hard. Google Houston Horror Film.
It's actually 16th, 17th, 18th, I believe.
Okay, hold so on. That's where the 16th come in. Okay.
I'm good. Lying. No, it's the 9th, 10th, and 11th.
9th, 10th, and 11th? That early?
We're really off. We're really off. We're fired. Like, nobody, we're totally fired.
All right. So we're going to be selling books at the Texas AuthorCon and at Houston Horror Film Festival.
Correct.
Okay. Tarot. Now, look, this is another one. As soon as I saw the trailer a few months ago, I was like, ooh, I got to see that. So there's a lot of horror films. In fact, I feel like horror is what's taken over in the theaters right now. What I find interesting, though, is as soon as it comes out in the theater, it seems like the next week or two, it's on streaming. It's like we just saw Abigail, and I think I just saw this streaming now or something like that. It's like, but on the, it, I don't feel like I've lost anything. Like, I really thoroughly enjoy going to the theater to watch it, and I'm going to watch it again on streaming. These are movies that I enjoy watching. Do you think it's shocking that on IMDb, Tarot has a 5 out of 10 stars?
I do, actually.
Yeah. Why do you think that is? Why does Tarot, and I haven't even, we have not discussed this movie. I just told you that I thought it was good. I don't know what you think yet, but why do you think this movie is rated 5 out of 10 stars on IMDb? It just came out. Why is it 5 out of 10?
Because the person was dumb. It should have been 3 out of 10.
3? All right.
No. I would say 3.75.
Okay, 3.75. Now, is it because of the actual rules of tarot? Is it because of what it doesn't get the accuracy of what of tarot and all that, the readings and everything?
Okay, so movies like this. Okay, so this is like what we in the writing industry or world. We say closed door, meaning they don't show stuff. So this is a closed door gore fest. That is, you never see the gore. You just see the splatter of the blood and the person looking at, like, you know, with blood. And so we don't really know, like, did her head get cut off? Did his arm get yanked off? We don't really know exactly because they don't show it. This is why Terrifier is so popular, because the storyline of Terrifier is just as, I don't know what the right word is to say about the storyline, without being rude, it's just as non-inventive as it is in Tarot. But Terrifier shows us all the craziness. They show us the gags, they show us the blood and the gore, they show us the sex. We don't get that in this movie. And so I think when you're a movie maker, you have to choose a side. If you're going to not show and be closed door, then we need to not have so much prediction. They showed too many villains. It was too many villains. We had, and we knew all of them were coming because we saw the pictures. Once you know what monster to look for, the thing that saved this movie for me was the special effects and the actual the set was awesome. I enjoyed the set. Most of the actors I love Reginald the Vampire, so I was excited to see him as who was he? I just saw it today.
Joker, the clown, the Joker clown.
No. The guy who showed up at the end in the car.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. He had the Joker car.
He did. Yeah, but I can't remember his name in the show. But anyway, he plays Reginald the Vampire on Sci-Fi, and I just love him. He's a fun actor. He's really hilarious, and he's actually got a lot of range, that guy. So I have to be honest. I was okay to go see it because of him, but I wouldn't have seen it ever because I could tell right away it's going to be one of those. It Follows. It was going to be one of those Smile. One of those, you know, movies that are all the same. There's a background. We got to find out the background and try to beat the background. That was the only good thing, spoiler alert, but that was the only good thing about the show, is at least the beating the background part was actually accurate and it worked and it wasn't stupid. Like, I hate when they're like, oh no, but we wanted to come back and get them at the end. Like, you got to follow the rules of your own fucking universe, come on now. But I mean, all of that is, I mean, it brought it up almost to a 4 for me. But other than that, the storyline was just horrible to me.
Wow. Okay. Well, this is interesting because I got a lot more to say, just like I did about the idea of you. But I appreciate you putting that out there. I do see some of your points. What I find interesting, though, was when we reviewed Abigail, I think it was Abigail, I wanted the gore, and you were saying, oh, I think it was fine. You know, it was like, I was all about the gore, and I wanted, was that the one where I was saying, well, they should have shown the chopping and shown this and shown that, and you were okay with what was happening with that, I think. So it's interesting that here we got a turnaround. We flipped the switch. We have differences on our level of gore on this one. I agree that there wasn't the gore element, but I also think that it worked because they didn't show the gore and how the actual death. And that's actually what made it surprising that the guy that you were just talking about actually survived. Because it wasn't until they showed him at the end, spoiler alert, okay, for anybody who hadn't seen it. When they showed him at the end, it's like, oh, because I just knew he was dead. And so that was a surprise. That was a legit surprise. And I love when I'm surprised. It was a legit surprise. But when I think back, it's like, oh, they really didn't show it. And because they hadn't been showing it, that's what made that surprise work. Because if they had shown all the rest of them and didn't show his, that would have been a dead giveaway for me. I'd have been like, oh, he's coming back. He's coming back. And that kind of would have ruined that ending part. But when you were talking about Terrifier, now you know I love art. I love the Terrifier. I got a big-ass poster over here on my wall, Terrifier, with all the blood and guts in there. And I bought one for my friend too. But I love how he shows all the blood and guts and everything. He will torture. Like, it's torture that lasts for days when they're actually filming it. And I love that. That works because there's a freaking gnat in here. Sorry, the gnats. So the gore that we see in Terrifier, I feel like that's what I'm watching that for, because there's not a whole lot of plot. The plot just kind of, it's okay, but I'm watching it. What I'm watching it for is art antics. The plot itself is not solid enough for me to even care about it that much. I am watching that for his antics. This, I was watching for the story. And so that's why it worked for me, not seeing the actual blood and guts flying everywhere. Those monsters, Chantel, were terrifying to me. No, like, seriously. So, you know, like when we were talking about The Nun 2, and I was talking about how they upped the ante from the first one, and just also about Pope's, it was which one of the Exorcist Believer, where they had two exorcisms going on. You know, everything has upped the ante. Like, no longer do we have just one villain, we have multiples. And that's what scares me. Like, if it was just one, I would have been like, oh, this is so whatever. But each one of them showing, it was like, and I went to see it by myself. So I was in the theater in the dark, and I was sitting over there just watching it. Yeah, and it's like, like every time they came on the screen, they looked terrifying. They were terrifying, and I didn't jump. You know, they have those jump scares. None of those. Like, I'm like, okay, or whatever. But when those monsters showed their faces, or their claws, or their horns, or whatever they showed, I legit had my heart was racing. Like, they got me. And so that's what made it good. Now, for me, I loved it. Like, I really loved it. Although I could understand how someone who was really into tarot readings, I know they're going to have an issue with the actual fundamentals of it. I know that. I knew that was going to be an issue. But I suspend all of that just to watch what I'm seeing, and the monsters really did it. The second dude, when he was in that elevator, every time the elevator doors open and the Joker's there, that was scary. But I'm talking about the one who was by the train, or the subway tracks, and how dark it was, and the dark just kept closing in on him. Girl, I was terrified. I was terrified. So this did it for me. The monsters legit scared me. I have had this deck. I wanted to surprise you with this, Chantel. I have had this deck in my Amazon cart for like 5 years. And after this movie, I decided, let me just go ahead and get it. This is called The Tarot of Sexual Magic. Now, I already have Sexual Magic Oracle cards. And I had African Goddess Rising Oracle cards. And I would not call myself a practitioner, but, you know, I'm always studying. I'm always researching. I'm getting more and more into this stuff, especially with the Divine Feminine Rising. I am in that. I'm a part of that awakening. So these things have intrigued and drew me in more, where I'm taking more serious looks at them and study and research. But okay, so what I wanted to talk to you about, as someone who has even done a reading on me before, the rule of this movie is you never touch someone else's deck. You never use someone else's deck, like, for a reading. And so that rule was broken and all hell broke loose. Tell us about the rules of tarot. I know that's how you pronounce it, tarot.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that I would say there are rules that like, you know, I think that's a Hollywood thing, because there's rules to how to use a Ouija board and all these things, or even rules how to do an exorcism.
Start with that.
Yeah, I think for, you know, one of the rules that, you know, if you want to call it a rule, one of the things that I was taught growing up, because this was something I got taught by my mother, who got taught by her her father's mother. Okay, so she was taught not by her mother, but her father's mother. So her great-grandmother. That'd be right. Or her grandmother would be my great grandmother. So her grandmother taught her. One of the things that was passed down to me was, you never buy your own deck. It's going to work for you if it's gifted to you. But if you do happen to buy your own deck, you have to set it to your energy. And so by that, that particular thought process, I could understand why somebody would say you don't use someone else's deck, because it's not connected to your energy and it may not give you accurate readings. If it's a luck thing, I don't think anybody who is a real practitioner, and this is my opinion, but I don't think anybody who really practices divination would say they believe in luck or bad luck. They just know that. I think they said it a lot in the movie. It's about fate and about destiny, that sort of thing. However, when you were a practitioner of the tarot, you know that it's actually fluid. Fate is actually fluid. So you may make a decision that solidifies what you're going to do, and that comes to pass. But you can get a reading and it can completely, you can go the opposite. Because you decide, no, I don't want that future. I'm going to change that. And I did, when she was saying she's always gotten the same reading over and over again. And after I've been getting the same readings for the last 3 or 4 years. And even when I get somebody else to do a reading for me, they get the same thing. So I that does happen. You know, that is something that can happen. But I think it's because it's picking up on what you have decided is going to occur. For me personally, the reason it hasn't happened yet is because I am not ready for my fate to start happening, but I am getting there. And so,
that was exciting.
And so,
yes. You got pants on.
I'm wearing a skirt.
Look at it. It's a skirt.
She's like, ooh, what kind of show we got going today? It's so bad.
I'm going to have to click the explicit content marker for this episode because you flashed. Uh-huh.
Yes, because you saw my crisscross applesauce. Anyway, so that's just, you know, that was true. However, I was going to show you, and now that I threw my computer at myself, I lost the page. The spread is a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this is a Zodiac spread. However, it's 13 cards with all the surrounding cards are January through December. So this is your forecast for a year, not 24 hours. And the middle card is not the final outcome. It is actually called the focus. I'm sorry, I'm saying that wrong. The 13th card is in the middle, and this is the general atmosphere for your reading. So that would be like kind of like where your overall emotion will be for the year. So this particular spread is not necessarily to tell somebody about their date, their zodiac sign. That was something that they created. However, each of the cards are going to represent a zodiac sign for the year. So the zodiac comes a little bit into it, but it's really like getting a personalized prediction of the year for your individual self. What you could be looking for in each month to come. It is not necessarily the way they did it in the movie. So, yes, it's a real thing, but no, it's completely different and has different rules than that of the one in the movie. Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, I always find this part interesting, especially the discussion between fate and free will. You know, that and so I liked the way they did that. There was a point here where it was like, okay, things are fated. And I was like, legit wondering, how are they going to get out of this mess they're in? Like, how are they going to do this? And so I loved her putting her brain on and thinking and coming up with a solution where her free will took over. And then that changes the course of the direction that they're on. So, you know, I learned a while ago about how the reading is giving you the energy that you're giving at that time, but you can change it. It's more like a guide. Like, if you stay on this path, this is the direction that's going to happen, but you can change your mind. You have the free will to change the course, to change the direction of things. And you can 100%. Do that every day. You can do that at any minute, any second. So, you know, that I always love that discussion about fate, you know, predestination versus, you know, so it's like, well, if it's going to happen anyway, then what's the point? But this is like, it could be a warning, or it could be, you know, it's giving you an idea of what to avoid or what you could look forward to if you continue on this path. What I'm thinking of is like, I have not been practicing with tarot, but I do get dreams, and I've been having that, and now my daughter does the same thing. It's kind of weird. And matter of fact, Chantal, I need to ask you about this. There's a question. Just put a pin in it, but my daughter and I have had the same exact dream just a year apart, and it wasn't a good one. It was scary. And because I know how my dreams are, I'm really scared, but I want to get your opinion on it. But anyway,
sure.
Let me change that. I'm not really scared because I've dealt with it mentally, but I find it interesting that that is something that has happened, you know, from a spiritual standpoint. But so where was I going with the whole dream? Oh, okay. So because I have these dreams and things happen, a lot of times I can't tell what's a premonition, what is a warning, what is like, you know, it's what I sometimes it's difficult to even tell what's reality from the dream. And I had like, I knew I was having a girl before I had a girl. Like, it was not a question. I knew it. Same thing with my son. With my daughter, I'd had like 24 different dreams of girls, no boys in there, just girl. And then with my son, I only had one dream, but it was so vivid, and they held him up in his all blue, and he was big, he was huge, and he was in all blue, and I knew I had a son. And And I mean, when it actually happened, it made sense why they held him up the way they did, because I ended up having a cesarean. So that would make sense why the birth was different and why there was like a cloth. In my dream, I could not conceptualize that because I had never gone through that. Because my daughter was vaginal birth. But anyway, I usually go to my mom with my dreams and ask her for an interpretation or to talk to her about it. And I was like, look, I don't understand. Why am I having the dreams? Why am I here getting a vision of what's going to happen in the future? What's the point if there's nothing I could do about it to change it? And she was like, well, it could just be letting you know that he's going to be okay. Because before I had him, I'd had a miscarriage. And she's basically saying, you know that he's going to be born and there's not going to be an issue. He is going to be here. And that dream could be to let you know it is well, be content, nurture right. yourself, take care of yourself. But in that regard, it was a blanket. Like, you don't have to stress. You don't have to worry about that. Everything's going to be okay. So I know I just rambled all over the place with that.
No, that's okay.
With the cards, that's what I find interesting about how people interpret them. And then it depends on the perspective of the person that's given the reading. So if you are someone who is Hindu and you're getting a reading from someone who is Christian, you might use different terminologies and they may not line up. Or if, because, you know, there is overlapping with tarot and different religions. Or if you're someone that doesn't believe in God and then they're telling you that God is going to do blah, 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 then it's like, you can't really receive it from that person because of the terminology they're using. So tell me about the interpretations and how that is from the reader and, you know, that whole dynamic.
Well, different readers are different. Some people receive, so when spirit talks to you or spirit influences what you're saying, sometimes it's a matter of the things that the reader notices. And when something pops in and you're like, oh yeah, I noticed this N here. Okay, so maybe it's something to do with north or now or never, you know. So, you know, there's like different interpretations that you could come up with. So as a reader, you tend to pull from the emotions of the situation, and maybe the person is feeling, maybe they're feeling anxious. So you, and they're worried that something's going to come to pass, and they notice the letter N and they say, well, it may be that this is something new that you're going to experience instead of what you're expecting. So, and that's like, it depends on the reader's self-confidence, to be 100% honest, how much they trust in what the universe is showing them. Mm-hmm. A lot of times when I do things like that, when I hear or feel a message that I need to pass on to someone, I don't necessarily know that it's a message. I just get an emotion like, I need to say this. So I say it. The only time it's really clear and precise for me is when I'm actually in a witch's protected circle. Then the universe and I have like a really stronger connection, and I feel like, okay, I get pictures and I get ideas and concepts. Again, it's not, like you said, person's free will can make big changes there. When my friend had the motorcycle wreck, I don't want to say names, but there was a time when they were in a coma and no one was sure if they would pull through. And I actually got together virtually with a few other witches I know, and one person there with me that was close to them. And we did this spell to communicate to the other side. And we all called to them and called and called. And said, you know, get back to your body, heal your body, or you're not going to live. And they pulled through. They are, unfortunately, you know, challenged now with so much brain damage that it occurred. But they're alive. And it could still, over time, you know, slowly and gradually come back to themselves. Mm-hmm. But the point is, it's like, energy is around you. You are energy. We are all energy. We are a form of life energy. And then there's, you know, mundane energy around us too. That is basically part of everything that we are with, right? And a cell made up, an atom, is in itself energy. So when you are interpreting something, you're going to be feeding from the energy you're getting. And if your own energy as a reader is interrupting that, then you're not going to get a good reading. But if you're in good tune with your tools, because all the cards are our tools. Mm-hmm. I've seen people do readings with nothing but something in their hand they're holding, mm-hmm. that helps them focus on the energy they're feeling. So the cards are much more helpful, because it's going to give you a few things that you might look at. And now you can know the cards inside out, but you don't read everything you see on the card. You read and communicate what it is that you are feeling. Now, what I do is, because, I mean, again, I was taught to do this. I kind of do a little bit of both, but I've always used the Rider-Waite deck, and I've always used this book. Mm-hmm. And this book has, I don't know if you can see it, a ton of entries per card. Mm-hmm. Like, there's the Fool.
That's what I'm studying it, yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of entries for, and that was, okay, see, all that for one card. And yeah. So what I'll do, I won't read each entry. I'll scan it, and then whatever stands out to me, I'll read it. And I've done it that way for years, and it's always indicated to the person. Mm-hmm. It's always been like, that's what I really needed to know about. And then I always read the final outcome and stuff like that, because it's a general concept of what they're going through. But without the tools, as I've gotten older, I'm able to not just connect to the energies of those things around you, but also your energy. And so I get your pictures, and I get your anxieties and your happiness and your thoughts on things. But I don't try to do it. It just happens that way. But yeah, I mean, I think every reader is different when it comes to reading. Some people want to do it like this here. This is another great book that's old, very old, and hard to come by. The woman who wrote this book's name is Eileen Connolly. And a lot of people will know this book. And she puts you through a course. It's like an actual course that you're going through in her book. And this doesn't look like any normal tarot book that you'll see. She has these wonderful charts that she has put out, you know, together for you to read. And guys that are not watching, I'm showing parts of this book. This here is something I've started working with, the Tree of Life, and how the human being is affected by that tree. So there's so many amazing things available in these books but they're just tools. It's just a tool that you use. That's why they're called the tools of divination. Mm-hmm. But you don't always necessarily have to use a tool to connect to those energies. And like you said, this is a fun show. I'm really being kind of a sarcastic bitch about it. I would definitely give it a 6. I did enjoy it, but it wasn't real horror to me. It was bubblegum. But I did enjoy the scenes, and the monsters were fine. It's just that I expected them. You know, I enjoyed the makeup of them, and I enjoyed the movements. Those were great. But and if, like, this is a movie I would expect, like, a friend of mine to create, and I'd be like, oh my God, you did such a great job, versus a serious horror film, you know? I mean, you know how I am about my horror, you know? Like, Sam. You know, every now and then I can have a Sonic burger, but, you know, to have a really good, amazing steakhouse burger, sometimes, you know, it's just not the same. It can't compare the same.
All right, I got a few more questions then. And we've had many different tarot readers on with us before. And Alicia, remember the she was on for our Asian American Heritage episode a few years ago. She pops up in my feed all the time, and her readings are pretty spot on. I love her energy when she comes up in my TikTok. She is now we follow each other on Instagram. I don't follow her on TikTok because I want my algorithm to bring me when I need the reading, or when it feels energetically right for me, that's when I want it to pop up. So I don't follow any of the readers, but when she pops up, I know it's going to be right. It's going to be a gem. And when there's a few people that are like that, there's O Natty, that's O-H-N-A-T-O. She is one also for me that I really love. I also love Francesca. I've done a few of her rituals and stuff over the past couple of years, and they usually are boom. So I feel like I'm more in tuned, you know, more in alignment with them now. With myself, really, with my higher self, basically. And that's bringing them to me with the word when I need to hear it. But that brings up my question about skill versus gift. So like anybody can actually get a deck, get the books, read and learn, you know, and become skilled at doing tarot. But there are some people where it comes naturally to them, right? Where they're more in tune with hearing straight from the divine, and they can read you, like you said, when they're just holding instruments. They don't even need these tools, but this actually helps them to even be more accurate or more focused or something. But, you know, what do you think the difference is, or how? I'm not even sure what the question is on that. Okay, so there's people that are skilled and some that are gifted. I guess I can move on from that. That's the statement.
Well, yeah, I mean, I kind of covered it. You know, like I was saying, I mean, people who are skilled will seem very gifted. And it's not that they're not gifted. It's just a different, I mean, you can still get skilled with how to use a tool and become a good, what's the word, interpreter for the universe or for spirit. You can do that from somebody who knows nothing. Yeah, but somebody who is gifted, it can be different. It can feel like a burden. It can feel alienating. But then it can also be, depends on the individual. Like I said, I've had situations happen with me that my gifts became way too much. And I was like, oh, I cannot do that. Like, that's just too much for me right now. And then later in life, I was like, all right, it's not so bad. It's not a big deal. So right. It just depends on where the person is, I think. And I think someone could learn. I mean, yes, I was talking to things and speaking to things in my crib. So this was something that's been in my family. Whereas some people, totally normal life, and then they learn about the tarot and they're like, I'm going to learn to read this. You can hear it. Anybody can hear it. It's around us. Like I said, we're surrounded by this energy all the time. Yeah. And it's not a matter of belief. It just is. It just is.
So yeah. In the movie, and this is the question then. In the movie, they talk about how much more powerful it was to combine astrology and a tarot. Now, is that a real thing?
I mean, it's called the Zodiac card layout because it's about the months. I don't think that that's a real thing. I think that's something that they kind of made up.
Okay, yeah, I'm wondering that.
Yeah, I think, and that was a smart thing, even though that did help me in a way suspend belief. Mm-hmm. Knowing what I know, because then I was like, okay, this isn't necessarily our universe, even though it's urban and it's set in our universe. It really isn't, because I've never heard of such a thing as it could be. I'm not the end all to these things, but mm-hmm. I've never heard of that before. And you know what? There's so many small little cults and weird, creepy, you know, worship, you know, like Abraxas and, you know, Lilith and like all these different little culty groups that have been around. There very well could have been one that was like all about the tarot and zodiac being together. Who knows?
It's interesting that you brought up Lilith. I wrote a story about Lilith for an anthology, but I've been researching about that a little bit more about, you know, calling on goddesses to help you, you know, through situations or to get messages or to have power and that sort of thing. Do you tap into any sort of spirit or, you know, goddess or any other energies to help you with the reading? Like, do you call on specific entities or energies to help you read?
I don't. Strangely enough, I am still considered myself a practicing pagan. I don't necessarily believe in, I'm not saying that I don't believe the gods and goddesses were there. I'm sure they were. What I believe in is the balance. The universe needs the balance of the male and female concepts of those energies. And that with, in order to be your highest self, you have to be able to find that within yourself and or be both, however you want to look at it. You were saying earlier, some people can't receive a message because of the nomenclature that's being used. A good reader will say to you, I'm getting a presence of angels or something of the idea that someone who watches over you and protects you, that sort of flow. They'll say things like that because, not because they're trying to guess, but they're trying to communicate the message in a way that the person that the message is for can receive it. Because not all of us believe in the gods and goddesses. I'm more of a universal energy person. So I believe that the universe energy is called Akasha. And so I'm more of an Akasha practitioner, which some people call that chaos magic. Because the universe was born from chaos. I don't necessarily aspire to any of those things, but I do know that whenever I open myself up to the flows of the energy around me, that's what works best for me. You know, finding that balance within myself. Now, I will say, again, I don't not necessarily think that Lilith or, now she's called Hecate, is now in the world as Santa Marta, but she's evolved throughout since Greek times. So she is a presence that's always been around. But these also are things that represent a certain type of energy in the world. The gods themselves, the sun god, when he is born, it is also around the same time Christ was born. Mm-hmm. So all these things are just an interpretation of the energy that people were feeling in that season.
Right.
At that time of year.
And then I mentioned this African goddess rising oracles. There's a Oshan and Amaye. There's so many different ones that I'm learning about with that. Do you do anything to charge your cards?
I mean, you put them under the full moon. My cards were last charged under the eclipse.
Okay, that makes sense. Okay, now back to the movie itself. I felt bad for the spirit that was bound to the cards. I know this person, quote unquote, evil. Because there were so many people killed and the evil was kind of bound, the dark energy was bound to the cards and it was murderous, so that's evil, I guess. But I felt bad for her once we got her story on how that happened, because I would have been the same way. Let something happen to my kids, the whole world can burn. Like, fuck it all. So I understood, based on what happened, why she was so angry, why she went down this dark path, why she sealed these cards this way and cursed them. Did you have that sense of empathy for her as well?
I did. And I think that, I mean, you know, I'm such a complex thinker. So I would imagine that somebody, when they were writing this script, was like, we could do this so much better, but we only have so much time. You know, and so I kind of felt like some of the murders were gratuitous and over again, the same, like, okay, we're just slashing people to slash people here. I think they could have taken away one or two of the friends and developed that a little more. I would have rather seen that, especially dealing with her directly. That was probably that part when they called her to separate her from the deck. That was one of my most favorite parts of the movie. When she shows up and she shows her anguish and her pain and her hate, I got that. You know, I totally did get that feeling she was having. I would have rather them delve a little bit more into that. This woman who showed up to communicate with her. I would have liked something more from that. I would have liked that scene to be a little bit more.
That part was funny to me. That part was funny to me because I thought she was really going to do something, but she got her ass whooped.
Pretty much. And so I was disappointed by that. You know, here we had all these silly kills. Like I probably would have gotten rid of the latter one because that was just dumb. I didn't mind the train one. That was fine. And the rope one was great on the bridge. I love that. But yeah, they could have gotten one, maybe two of the kills been done with, like the whole, I get the thing we needed with the Joker, the, you know, that was needed. I get that. They could have made it shorter, but I think that they had brought a little bit more with that woman. I mean, my gosh, she spent all those years studying. Did she not learn anything? You know what I mean? So it was kind of like, yeah.
Well, I was excited with your guy when, you know, when we see all these things happening and they're obviously supernatural and this dude is like, I gotta go, I gotta get out of here, I'm going back to my dorm room and sitting by myself, I was like, what? Yeah. And then
that was silly too.
Yeah,
I mean, that
when everybody's questioning, you know, when they start thinking irrationally about something that is supernatural, like, it does not make sense why you all are still questioning what's happening and you're still trying to make sense of, I mean, you know, like, this doesn't make sense, this, we're not gonna do this, and we're trying to split up and all that. Like, you obviously see that there's things happening. Like, why are we still questioning whether what we're seeing is actually happening? I didn't get that.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I get that.
Did you like the deck? It was a beautiful deck. I wish I could get it.
That was great. I'm sure we will be able to. Yeah.
If they sold that deck, I'm buying it. I love that deck. That is amazing.
It was beautiful. Actually, we know, both of us, we know tattoo artists that create decks all the time. If you want a personalized deck of cards, you could pay any artist to do it for you, but a tattoo artist would do it, and they'd probably do it a lot of justice.
Yeah, you know, we had a previous guest that I bet could do a great job. Dan Hinkley?
Hink. Oh, yeah.
Hank. Dan Hink would do a phenomenal job with some cards like that.
He might even have a deck out, because I believe a lot of times they sell stuff. So, yeah, I mean, if you're a tattoo person, you can always ask your tattoo artist, do you have any cool decks of cards that you've created? And honestly, it can be a regular 4-suit 52 card deck, because yes, you can do divination with just plain cards.
And I bet you they're probably going to be, if you are an artist, that's an idea for you. Get your decks out there. With the advent of this movie coming out, I'm sure there's more people. Like I said, I've had this in my cart for the longest, but I bought it because this movie puts it on the forefront of my mind again. Like, you know what? Let me just go ahead on and get that. And my last point was about this being another game type horror film. And I happen to like those. I really like those. Every time we're talking about Jigsaw, the game, who wants to play a game? Anytime there's a game involved, I get really intrigued. And was this reminiscent to you of Talk to Me? There were a few times, especially when the friends were around and in the very beginning of the circle, and they were like, do this, and they kept trying to get it. I went back to Talk to Me.
I did too, but then I was mad that I did that, because then it made me more disappointed. Because Talk to Me was phenomenal. I loved Talk to Me.
What do you think made that better to you? Because there's a lot of the same.
Yeah, I think, to be honest, mm-hmm. we didn't really see a monster. Mm. We were experiencing the situation, and you had two different sides to the situation. And in general, it was just something evil that was toying with these people's lives. And so we knew where it was. Like, this was fine. I enjoyed the fact that, like I said, she was evil, then they helped cleanse her, and then it was done. It was actually done. That was good. That did bring it up in points for me. Because there's nothing like, oh yeah, that's the answer, and then it's not the fucking answer. That's annoying to me. That's stupid and annoying. Like, you know, make a slasher film if you want it to go on forever. You know, Supernatural, I mean, not saying that it has rules, but once you make a choice, the choice is followed through. And I think that's what the message was here, because that's what happened, right? They made this choice to do this thing for this woman, and they let her go of this curse. The cards burnt up. There should have been nothing else after that. So I'm glad they did stick with that. But yeah, I felt like Talk to Me just had some really fun and exciting, yet in the background, horrifying things. And of course, it was totally open door gore. We saw a child's face getting smashed to smithereens. Mm-hmm. I mean, that gore was in your face. And yeah. So I don't mind gore if it's needed. Or done to the point of, like, Talk to Me. They didn't overdo it. They did it just enough. And I felt like in this film, they didn't do it hardly at all enough. Instead, they chose to stretch out these killings and really focus on the monsters, which worked for you. So, you know, it's just going to be different for each person. So,
yeah. And go watch this film also, which is why we always say, go watch the films. Go support the films if the concept seems interesting to you, because you could be someone who doesn't enjoy it as much, or you could be someone like me who really enjoyed it. And we, you know, and I think this is also for the artists, like we talked about when we were reviewing Abigail, trust your gut. Go with the story you want to tell. Do what you want to do, because some people it's going to land with, some that's not. So that's a lesson for everybody, for the viewer and the filmmaker, to just put the art out there that speaks to you, because 100%. It'll find its audience. So, and I think for us, I think that's what makes our podcast go into a sixth season, because we are so different. We may still love some of the same things, the overarching theme of sex and horror, but we still are coming from it from different perspectives. We still have a different experience with it. And so we're not regurgitating the same thing over and over again. We're coming with different ideas and thoughts. And we're something that I say may connect with someone, something you say may connect with someone. And we're just having fun in the meantime.
That's so. Right. And yeah, I mean, I definitely would not deter anyone from seeing the film. It was definitely worth the watch.
All right. Thank you all for watching. This is 54 minutes, by the way. Aren't you glad we paused and back?
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure.
Thank you all for returning. If you are enjoying our podcast, which we hope you are, please share it with someone. By all means, let us know how you feel about it. But share it with someone that can also be entertained. I have tried to listen to a few other podcast, and I'm like, you know, it's not really that, you know, like I feel like ours is on par. I feel like we're just as good, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So. I mean, who else shows you their crisscross applesauce?
you can watch this and see, you know, Chantel exposing it all. Those little quick moments here and there. You never know what's going to get. Yes. All right. So everybody, good night.
People.